I heard Brother Bill years ago pose these questions to us and to each other and to all of us here. The questions that he gave out is, who am I? How did I get here? And where am I going? Now, there is a lot of people in the world that have identity crises. They don't know who they are. They don't know where they're going. And they don't know how they got here. I kind of wasted a lot of time on the philosophers. There's a lot of philosophers out there. But I found the guy that I kind of liked. And I want to give you a quote from him. His name is Soren Kierkegaard. Or Kierkegaard. Have you ever heard of him?
Yes.
Okay. He is a 17th century Danish philosopher, theologian, and poet. Now, it's concerning these questions. He has these questions. Then listen to the questions. Where am I? You know, then people come out in the, they don't know, especially when you get older, you say, where am I? Who am I? Do you know who I am? How did I get here? How did I get here? What is this place? It's the world. Well, how did I get into this world? How did I get in the world? Why was I not consulted? And if I'm compelled to take part in this world, I want to talk to the director. I want to see him. Well, there's people that can't figure out who they are. There's a lot of transcendental meditation and so forth. You can find all kinds of people that will tell you and try to give you direction on who you are. But when you try to explain who you are, without giving credit to the Creator, it's very difficult. There's a lot of folks in the world that, and Brother Randy wrote a very wonderful article on this several years ago, and the title was, What is Man? Remember? Anyway, there is several philosophies that's in the world, and if you try to describe our identity without God, then you have the evolutionist. They believe that, they don't believe in Genesis 1. They don't believe anything about God. Therefore, they believe that everything that is, that all material is just evolved, and there's no identity to anything. When a person, he just kind of evolves into these different things. And the pat answer to everything, every question you ask them, they just say, well, that's evolution. And it's all the answers that they can give because they don't have any idea about anything else. They deny the existence of a Creator God. And when they die, they don't have any place to go. They only just die and that's it. Then there are those that and Brother Randy could probably tell you a lot more about this, that's called postmodernism. The people that come into the world, they're always wanting to please everybody, and they don't want to offend anybody. And that's where the group of politically correct people come in. They don't have any accountability. They're the people that deny the existence of any kind of an inner being. You're just human. That's it. Okay, now when I get down to these points, and I hope that you'll pray for me. So we have to ask ourselves this question: Who am I really? Who are you really? Who are you? And some may say, I'm a father. Okay, I'm a father. I'm a husband. I'm a brother. I'm a friend. Are you a brother? Are you a friend? Are you a husband? The truth is that every one of these that you've spoken of, I'm a husband. I am a brother. I'm a sister. I'm a friend. They all are depending on what you are to someone else. If you can't be a husband without a wife. You can't be a brother without a brother and a sister or some siblings. You can't be a friend without friends. So everything that you are depends on your identity, depends upon what you are to someone else. If you say, I'm a husband. Well, are you a husband? Are you a brother? Are you a friend? Are you any of these things? Or all these things? You say, I'm a husband. I'm a father. I'm a brother. I have brothers and sisters. And I'm a friend. You know, we have many friends. But you see, every one of these things depends on my relationship to someone else. But if I don't have a relationship with anybody, then who am I? Who am I? There's all kinds of people that'll try to tell you who you are. Okay, now, then who are you? All of these things, and I've written down some notes. Hope y'all don't mind. All of these things that we've said that you are: husband, brother, friend. All of these things is what Jesus is to us. Okay, I'm gonna tie all this in. Hopefully, Jesus is our husband. Jesus is our friend. Jesus is our elder brother. He's all of these things to us. So our identity to each other depends upon our identity to Jesus, doesn't it? If we can't connect to something, then we're nobody. There was a movie way back there. He said, and the name of the movie is Nobody. Who are you? I'm nobody. Who are you? I'm nobody. You see, if you don't have a connection and you don't know where you came, first of all, if you don't know who you are or where you came from or where you're going, you're just flying around. You're just floating around in nothingness. You know, in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24, it says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Now, do you have any friends? If you have friends, if you want friends, then you must be a friend. If you want to have friends, you must show yourself friendly. Don't be a loner. Don't be sitting off in a corner somewhere waiting for somebody to come and be your friend. If you want friends, you've got to reach out to them. You've got to show them. You know, I said this here a while back. I don't really care how much you know until I know how much you care. You know, there's a lot of philosophers in the world today, and I kind of liked this Soren Kierkegaard. He gave one philosophy I really liked. He said, there's two ways to be a fool. Two ways to be a fool. To believe that which is not true. In other words, you believe what's not true. And the other way is to refuse to believe what is true. To believe what is not true, you can be a fool by believing what's not true. Or you can also be one by not believing what is true. And there's a lot of people, what is truth? Truth, I mean, that we have relativism that's going in the world. And what is truth? What is truth to me may not be truth to you. And what was truth yesterday may not be true today. Our Constitution is an evolving document, just like the Bible. It's out of date. These people, they don't want to have any identity with anything, especially they don't want you telling them how you ought to live. They don't want any rules. Well, then they're nobody. I'm just saying. So Proverbs chapter 28 says, a man that hath friends, you have friends. Every one of us have friends. And if you've got one good friend, you're rich. You have a really good friend. Can I tell you, you have the best friend in the world. Jesus is the friend of sinners. But if you're not a sinner, then you don't have him for your friend. Because he didn't come to call the righteous people. He came to save sinners. And if you're not a sinner, you can't identify with Jesus. Right? Okay, a friend, Proverbs 17 and 17, says a friend loveth at all times. At all times. And a brother is born to adversity. A friend loveth at all times. A friend is a friend. A friend in need is a friend indeed. That's the if you have a friend, there's some people that call themselves your friend, but they're really kind of fair weather friends, because they're friends, but they don't want you to really bother them too much. A friend, now a brother is another thing. A brother, it says a brother is born to adversity. Now, what is a brother supposed to do? A brother is there when you need him. I had three brothers. Leo and I, my one that was next to, we were not only brothers, we were friends, we were buddies. He took care of me, and if somebody beat me up, then he's going to go beat them up and say, if you do anything else to him, then you're going to have to answer to me. That's kind of the way he was. He was my friend and my buddy and my protector and all those things all wrapped up in one. Now, but a brother is a brother that will stand in your place if he needs to. Now, you know, I asked this question. Brother Bill asked me one time. He said, would you take a bullet for me? And I said, yep, I could. You see, this is the kind of friend that Jesus is. He will do everything for you to protect you. And not only that, he will lay down his life, or he did lay down his life in your place. That's a friend. Okay? And Jesus says, a greater love hath no man than this, than a man would lay down his life for his friends. Now, that it may come down to that some of these days. But a friend is somebody that loves you, somebody that will stick up for you, somebody that will be there for you in the hardest of times. That's what a real friend is. But there's another friend. It says, faithful is the wounds of a friend. Now, how many of you like to be wounded? You know, but it says, faithful is the wounds of a friend. Now, if I'm your friend and I see you doing something that you ought not to do, if I'm your friend and you'd start going in the wrong way and I don't correct you, or I say, Brother Andy, if you keep going that way, you're going to end up in trouble. Right. But if you're not my friend, I'm going to say, nothing to me. Who cares? He made his bed, let him lie in it. That's a silly statement for somebody, because we are to be each other's care. You know, the question God asked Cain, where is your brother Abel? How do I know? Am I my brother's keeper? Well, if you're one of God's children, the answer is yes, indeed. I am my brother's keeper. And if you have a friend and you really love him, then you're going to wound him if he needs to be wounded. But notice it says, faithful is the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy is deceitful. Now, Jesus was betrayed by one of his friends. He kissed him on the cheek. At the same time, he was betraying him. Now, it says these people are, they're your friends while they're here with you, but later on, I mean, you're going to really find out if they're really your friend, if when you get in trouble, they go tell, and if I have something I really need to, I really have a burden, okay? And I need to talk to somebody, and this guy here, and all of you, and Brother Dale West, various ones, I told Brother Dale on the phone yesterday, I said, I've known you about as long as I've known my wife. He was an usher at my wedding. Judy and I have been married longer than he and Billy. They got married about a year later. But he's my friend. And I can tell him stuff. And I said, now, Dale, this is confidential. Now, if I find out that he's told somebody else what I've told him in confidence, he's not my friend. He's my enemy. He's wounded me. A friend is a friend all times. Okay. Now then, the question that we need to continually ask her. Now, this is the essence of one of Brother Articles, of Brother Randy's points. What is man? What is man? Well, what is man? Who is man? Where did he come from? How did he get here? And where is he going? I mean, all these questions are relative to who man is. Man, first of all, man is a creature of God. God created him. He didn't create himself. He didn't, by the way, he's not an evolutional process. He didn't get here he didn't come from a monkey. People say, well, you came from everything evolved into this. And old Brother Sonny Piles, I like to quote him a lot. He has a lot of funny sayings. He says, for somebody to believe in evolution would be like taking a fine-tuned Swiss watch, taking it all apart and putting all the pieces, there's hundreds of pieces in a watch, and putting all the pieces in a bowl or something, and you shake them all up and you just throw them up in the air like that, and they come down fine-tuned in this watch. That's about how silly it is for people to believe in evolution. I'm talking about species. I know there's evolution within a species. But I'm talking about there's never going to be a fish that turns into a bird. Now that's what they kind of believe sometimes. They find these fish that some of the fish, you know, and there's another question. Rats and bats. Have you ever see a bat? It looks just like a rat with wings. Did you ever see in the middle of all, if evolution is still going on, then you should see a rat with just little sprigs of wings sticking out of him because he hadn't quite turned into a bat yet. But for long, he gets going and he flies away. Isn't that ridiculous? But you know, there are millions, I'm talking about millions of people in this world that believe exactly that. And by the way, you children, you're going to be taught in school that you can't read the Bible in school, but you can learn about evolution in school. You can learn about all these things. And the ones that are the most profound evolutionists is biologists and zoologists and all of these sciences. You can never find one that is a truly biologist that will tell you there's anything to do with an inner person. You see, when God created us, Brother Randy, he formed us out of the dust of the ground. And when he formed us, I can imagine he was a wonderful sculptor, didn't you? Don't you? Didn't you think he could mold a perfect man? I mean, that man, as he laid there, he was made out of dirt. He wasn't able to move. He wasn't able to do anything. But God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. Man is created in the image of God. And anybody that denies that is a fool. You say, Brother Allen, that's pretty strong. No, Psalms 14:1 says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. There is no God. If there is no God, you have no identity. You're just a nothing. And you really are nobody. You don't have any connection to anything. And when you die, you just go to the grave and that's it. Nothing. Nothing. No hereafter. You know, it's really convenient for those folks because there is no accountability. You see, we don't have to answer to anyone. We don't have to be accountable to anyone. There is no God. If there's no God, then there's no hell and there's no judgment. So I'm free. I don't have to answer to you. I don't have to obey any laws. I am my own God. That's what the the postmodernists believe. They believe they're God. They're God. Well, enough of that. But I want to read to you in Psalms chapter 8. There are two places. One of them you quote, Brother Andy, in Psalms 144. I'll read that first. You don't want to get into Psalms 8. But it says, Lord. That's capital L, capital O, capital R, capital... That's Jehovah. He's calling upon Jehovah God. He's calling upon the Creator God, the one who is the omnipotent God, the one who is always present and never absent. He is the one... David is calling upon him. Lord! And this is the question. What is man? What is man? What is man that thou takest knowledge of him? Ponder that question. What is man that the Creator God should take notice of him? What is man that thou takest knowledge of him? Or the Son of Man that thou shouldest makest him account? Man is like to vanity. His days are as a shadow that passeth away. What's vanity? That's what the preacher says. All is vanity, vanity, vanity. All is vanity and vexation of spirit. That's what Ecclesiastes. He did this and he did that and he tried this and he tried that. And everything that he tried, you know what his answer was? Vanity. It's nothing. That's what vanity is. It's emptiness. Emptiness. You know, when God created the world, he said it was without form and void. Now, I want you to think about that. We can't imagine anything without form, and it doesn't have any form, and it doesn't have anything in it. It's nothing. Well, he says, all is vanity. Everything in this world that he's tried, vanity. I mean, if you read Ecclesiastes, it's very discouraging if you don't get to the end. But he said at the very end of this thing, at the very end of Ecclesiastes, he said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. I'm going to sum all that I've said up into this text. The whole duty of man is to fear God and keep his commandments. That's all of it. Fear God. But what if you don't believe in God? And you're just, I can't imagine somebody living in God's world and denying his existence. Can you? Okay. Psalms 8. I'm going to pick up in verse 3. He says, when I consider the heavens, thy heavens, notice it's when I consider your heavens. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon, the stars, which thou hast ordained, I'm considering, I look out into the sky and I see all this beautiful creation. The moon, the sun, the stars, the gorgeous canopy. You know, there are stars out there that the most powerful telescopes can't see. I mean, it's millions and millions of light years out into the space. Who's out there? You say, well, is there anybody out there? You know, you call and say, hello? Anybody out there? Well, is there anybody out there? I don't know. Is there little green men on Mars? Is the moon really made out of cheese? I don't know. You see, all we know about God's creation is what's in this book. Now, we can speculate and we can reason along, you know, but there's really nothing that you can know about God except what he has told us about himself. So when we consider all of these things, what is man that thou art mindful of him? What is man that thou art mindful of him? And the Son of Man that thou visit him? Now, I want you to see that when God created Adam, he is not a prehistoric person that walks around like some dum-dum. Adam was the most intelligent being that has ever been, besides Jesus. How do I know that? Because he was made, he was created in the image of God. He had a free will, he had knowledge, he had wisdom, he had all of these things that God gave him, and God put him, he created him upon this earth, and not only that, he says, he put all things under his hands. He said, everything that what thou hast made him, but thou hast made him a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that thou madest him to have dominion over the works of his hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. And he tells you what all those things, there's a colon right there. Well, what are those things? What are all the things that Adam had charge of? Well, sheep, oxen, beast of the field, fowls of the air, the fishes of the sea, whatsoever passes through the paths of the sea, Adam was in charge of it. He has dominion over all those things. And not only that, he named them all. God said, he said, Adam, all these creatures are in your heart. You can call them whatever you want. Okay, that's a cat. Well, hey, I wonder what I'd call that. Oh, okay, I'll call that a pig. But you see, all of these, we take all this stuff for granted, but all of this stuff was named and given. I mean, I want you to think about all the species of different animals and different birds, all of these different things. By the way, none of those have evolved from slime. He named them all, every one of them. Oh, Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Exclamation mark. How excellent is thy name. But you see, now Jesus, by the way, or Paul quoted this in Hebrews chapter 2, and I'm not going to turn there for the sake of time, but Paul reads from this Psalms 8, and he said, but then he says, but now we see not all things put under him. What happened to Adam? God gave him a law in the garden, and he said, of all the trees of the garden, you see all these trees, they're all yours. You can do anything, you can eat from them, but there's one tree in the midst of the garden. He said, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest of it, thou shalt surely die. Well, when Adam was created in the image of God, but after the fall, his image was greatly marred. We could go into great detail about, well, how far did he fall? When God looked down upon this, we can go with this to Genesis chapter 5. He says he looked down from heaven. And he said, all of the creation, everything that we have, he said, in the day that God created him in the image of God, in the likeness of man created he him. But he looked down, I can't find where I was looking for, but he looked down upon the earth, and he said, all is vanity. He said, there's none good. I can look down and I can say, there's none good. There's not a person on the earth that is not a sinner. You know, another quote that's worn, that Kierkegaard gave was, God can create something out of nothing. God, I mean, what did he use to create it with? He created this world. He said, let there be light, and there was light. He created all this stuff out of nothing. He said, yeah, that's really good. But let me tell you something that is more wonderful. Something that's more wonderful than that is that God creates saints out of sinners. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, when we think about that, I got a lot of stuff here. I want to keep going. Okay. So go back to our questions. Why are we here? Well, and I want to go over to the New Testament now for a little bit. And I'll read some more of my philosophy. All right. Now this is, for you teenagers, or some of you young folks may know, a songwriter named John Mark Hall. You ever heard of him? Anyway, he wrote a song, and I thought it was very nice. And I want to read you the words of this song, because it goes right along with what I want to talk about, what I'm trying to talk about. This is the words. Who am I that the Lord of all the earth would care to know my name, that he would feel my pain? Who am I that the bright and morning star would choose the light of the way for my ever-wandering heart? Who is this that would do this? Who am I that the eyes that see my sin would look upon me with love and watch me fall and rise again? Who am I that the voice that calmed the sea would call out through the rain and calm the storm that's in me? Who am I? Not because of who I am, but because of who you are. Not because of what I've done, but because of what you have done. I'm like a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. I'm like a wave tossed in the sea, a vapor in the wind. Yet you still hear me when I'm calling. Lord, you catch me when I'm falling. And you told me who I am. I am yours. Do you like that? Who are you? Now, I want to conclude my remarks this morning out of the book of Ephesians. And I want to make the emphasis where I want to. Now, Ephesians, especially the first chapter of Ephesians, gives us our identity. It tells you who you are. It tells you how you got here. And it tells you where you're going. All the questions are answered here. And I want to just read this. So who are we? How did we get here? And where are we going? Who are we? Now, the Apostle Paul reads, and I want to emphasize the pronouns that's here. Because when I say us, that means I get to say us. When I say us, that means you and me. When I say our, that means you and me. It's ours. It's me. It's not just me, but it's ours. Now notice, Paul, the apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Now, that's who Paul's writing to. You say, well, I don't know if I'm a saint. I don't feel like a saint. Well, you see, it's not how you feel, and it's not how you identify yourself, but it's how God, it's who God is the one that says you're a saint, not you. A saint is one who has been sanctified by God the Father. He has made you, he has called you, he has identified you as a holy thing. That's what the word saint, we could say you're a holy person. Why? Because you have a relationship with the Creator. You're a saint. So, and then he says, the faithful in Christ Jesus. If you're in Christ Jesus and you believe in him, then, and he's writing to the saints and the faithful in Christ. And I think that would, it certainly would identify every one of you. I mean, you're faithful. Come out on a cold day like this. Pretty faithful. But he says, grace to you. To who? To all of you. Grace to you and peace from God our Father. Do you understand what a privilege it is for us to pray the model prayer, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. The Creator of this universe gave us the privilege of calling him Father. 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 So it's peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. It's our Father and it's our Lord Jesus. Think about that. Our Lord. What's Lord? That's our Master. He's the one that we belong to. By the way, we are his property. You may not want to admit that, but you belong to him. You don't belong to yourself. The people in the world tells you that, hey, I don't belong to anybody and I don't answer anybody but me. And I don't get mad. I get even. That's the philosophy of the far left. Can I say that? Okay. Who he hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now, I want you to think about the prepositional phrase in Christ. In Christ. Okay, if you are a saint and you're one of God's creatures and you have this feeling of love in your heart for God, and you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, then you have an identity, and it's in Jesus Christ. You are in Him. Well, what are you outside of Him? If you're out of Christ, you see, Jesus said, I came down from heaven. Where did He come from? He said, I came down from heaven. Well, what did you come for? I come to do my Father's will. And this is my Father's will, that of all He gave me, I should lose nothing but raise it up again at the last day. Who are those? I'm going to tell you who they are. They belong to God. And they belong to Jesus because He bought them. He purchased them. Do you think that you ought to be able to have what you paid for? Now then, he says, now notice verse 4. According as He has chosen us. How did you get here? What's the question? Well, who am I? Well, you are in Christ. You belong to Him. If you believe in Him and you understand that He's your Father, then you're His child. And we have a relationship, don't we? I am nothing without my relationship. I am identified, but who I am, I'm a father. Well, I am a child now. I have a relationship because how can I be a child if I don't have a father? But I have a father. And I have a brother. His name is Jesus. He's my brother. And that's why Jesus, in that second chapter of Hebrews, He said, Father, here they are. All that You gave to Me, I've lost none. And He says, I'm not ashamed. I want you to think about this. I'm not ashamed to call them brother. You have a friend too. Jesus is that friend that sticks closer than a brother. He's a friend all the time. And it says we were chosen in Him when? I want you to think about this. There are a lot of people, they sure don't like this. But it says we were chosen in Him before the foundation of the world. Why did He do that? Did you ever think about why did God do that? Why did He love you? You say, I don't understand why He would hate Esau. I can understand why He hated Esau, but I can't understand for the life of me why He would love Jacob. But He dubbed him. He said that we, that's us, that we should be holy. That word holy is the same thing as a saint. That we should be holy, that we should be sanctified, that we should be without blame. Oh, I want you to think about this, and you go and read Romans chapter 3 when it says there is none good, no one, there's none that seeketh after God, there's none that calleth on Him, their mouth is an open sepulcher. All of these things that it says about the man that fell in Adam, the natural man. If you're in Christ, you don't have any blame. Grab on that. I mean, you don't have any. There is nothing that anybody can charge you with. You have been declared not guilty. It says, without Him, before Him in love. Oh, don't you just like that word love? The word love is all encompassing and takes in the entirety of God, because He says, God is love. Who is God? Who is God? God is love. And if you love God, then that's an evidence that you're one of His. So He says, we were chosen to be holy without blame before Him in love. Now notice, having predestinated us. How did it, I mean, what does that mean? That means, brothers and sisters, that before the foundation of the world, he chose us in his son. He gave us to his son. He gave us to them. And Jesus, when the appointed time came, it said, when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that are under the law. Jesus came and redeemed us from all iniquity. This is your identity. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children. He took us. What does the word adopt mean? It means, adoption means you take somebody out of one family and you put them in the other family, and you get to call the new family your parents. Now, that's very simple, but it's the adoption means the placing of a son from one family to another. God, he said he predestinated us to be adopted into his family. He took us out of the family of Adam and put us into his family, and he called us his children. Wow. Now, brothers and sisters, that ought to make you happy. That ought to make you excited to know. We've read over these texts so many different times that I want to put you may have read them through a binocular. You can see things pretty good with binocular. I want to look at them with a magnifying glass. We'll put the magnifying glass on here. It says that we were predestinated unto adoption of children by Jesus Christ according to the good pleasure of his will. People say, well, I got free will. Free will. We can choose. We can not choose. I can choose God or not choose God. And I've heard this. I've been to other groups. If you go out of here today, if you're here today and you go out of here today and you have not chosen Jesus as your Savior, and you get down, and something happens to you and you have not chosen Christ, you have not by your free will let him into your heart and accepted him as your Savior, and you die, then you're going to hell. But I want to tell you something. I got something a lot better than that. We were chosen by God according to his will. We were placed in him. Our names were written in the book of life before the foundation of the world, and there is not one thing that anybody can lay to your charge. If you're in Christ Jesus, there's no condemnation. There can't anybody take you out of his hands. God said, God which gave them me is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. That's a wonderful thing. He says, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. There's a lot of mysteries in the scriptures. But God, through his word and through the preaching of the gospel, has revealed to us his will, the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time he might gather together in one all things in Christ. Out of Christ, you have no identity. In Christ, you are very precious. In Christ, you have a father. In Christ, you have a friend. In Christ, you have a brother. If all of these things are describe your relationship to God, if you have no relationship, then you don't have an identity. You see, my identity, I'm a husband because I have a wife. I'm a brother because I have brothers and sisters. I'm a friend because I have friends. All of these things depend upon a relationship with someone else. But if I don't have a relationship with anyone, then I have no identity. If I deny that God is my Father, then there's no heaven, there's no hell. And the Apostle Paul said it this way, if in this life only, we have wonderful things in this. If in this life only you have hope in Christ, you're of all men most miserable. You're a miserable wretch. You're miserable. But it says that he did this that we should be to the praise of his glory. You say, why am I here? You were created, according to Isaiah, you were created for his glory. That's the purpose, that's your whole purpose of being here, is for the glory of God. And every day of our life, we should give honor and glory to our Creator. Everyone, every day. We get up in the morning, we should say, God, I thank you for your goodness and your love and your mercy. I thank you for all things that you've done for me. And when you go to sleep at night, you say, Father, I pray that you'll forgive me for the things that I did wrong today and watch over us while we sleep. You see, our identity is in Jesus. It's in him. And it says, after that, when you heard the gospel of your salvation, the gospel is good news. The gospel gospel doesn't make you who you are. If I went down and I adopted some kids or adopted a child and I just took them home with me and I didn't tell them they were adopted, they still would be adopted, but they sure wouldn't have much joy in that. But if I tell them, listen, you're going to live with me. I am your new father. I'm your new dad. You can call me dad. Okay. I'm your dad. And I'm going to give you everything that you need. I'm going to take care of all your needs. I'm going to protect you. And when I die, you're going to own all of this stuff that I have. Now listen, he said, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also we have, in whom we believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until we receive the purchased possession. What is the purchased possession? Now notice, I'm going to read that again. Which is the earnest, this belief, this joy, this peace that floods our soul. This is the earnest of it. This is just a little bit. The best day that you have on this earth would pale to that which. He says, it's not even worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. Now, and I know I'm out of time. Good thing you didn't want any. Not too bad. Romans chapter 8. I used to do dad this way too. He said, if the spirit of him that raised up Christ from the dead dwells in you. Now, answer me that. Do you feel, how do I know if it's in there or not? How do you know that you have the spirit of God in you? It says, the spirit of God bears witness with my spirit that I am a child of God. I have a witness and it's, now these people out here in the world that deny and that have not been born to the spirit of God, they don't have a witness. All they have is, I think so's and maybes. But we who are born of God, we have the Spirit of God inside of us, and it bears witness to our natural spirit that we're the children of God. And he goes on down in these verses, and I want to get to the last part of this, but I'm way out of time. He says we are saved by hope. Hope. Hope is the earnest faith is the substance of things hoped for. Okay. Hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he hope for it? But if we hope for that we see what, then we with patience do wait for it. We do patience wait for it. Likewise the Spirit beareth witness with our spirit. And he goes on down in this chapter and he says, who shall lay anything? I'm quitting. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Who is going to charge you if Jesus died for your sins? He said, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor principalities, nor things past, nor things to come, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Your identity is in Christ. You belong to him, and he belongs to you. He said, I'm his and he's mine. And outside of him, you're nothing. Outside of him, you're just, there is no hope without Jesus in your life.
I do want to say a couple of things just real quickly, in all seriousness. First of all, I very much appreciated the time, and I felt like the Spirit led you to go ahead and take the time that you did, and I appreciate the things. It's not about us. It's about the proclamation of the Spirit of God and the Word of God. And one of the verses that we've covered in our Bible study recently that supports that is in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I'll remind you that toward the end it just says that let the prophets speak two or three, that means the preachers, and let the other judge. If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace. For you may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. And what that means is, basically, is that in this place, the church services were not like they are now. Especially in Corinth. They were all talking at once. They would have people talking, and it was mayhem. And he's trying to put some order to that. And he says that you ought to talk. If you're going to talk, go one at a time. And then while somebody's talking, everybody else ought to listen to it and approve it. That is, be subject to it. And I want to say that I'm perfectly fine. Brother Allen is great. I want to say that my job, my duty is to listen to and affirm that everything that he said. So I just want you to understand that. The second thing that I want to say real quickly is that I appreciated what Brother Allen had to say. He was talking about the philosophical questions that we face. And I want to leave this with you. So I want you to think about this as we go from this place and we meet in the future. He said, what is it? He says, who are we? And why are we here? What are we doing? How did we get here? And the third thing was where are we going? Where are we going? And while you address that, I really do want to say that that's one of the things that really is core to the Christian church, and I want us to be thinking about that. Where we're going is the resurrection. That's where we're going, ultimately. Amen. We're going to be gathered together in Christ. And if the church is not thinking in those terms, if the church is not thinking about the return of Jesus Christ, then we're lost.
Amen.
Okay? And that's the thing that I want us to think about. So we're going to be gathered together in Him. All of the things that are going on in the world right now are transitory. The things that occupy our time and our passions and everything else, they don't matter. You've got to, earn a living. You've got to take care of the responsibilities that you have. But what we need to be thinking about and what we must be looking for, just as the angels told those disciples as they watched Jesus ascend in Acts chapter 1, he said, why are you standing here gazing in the heavens? This same Jesus whom you saw go up into heaven shall come in like manner from heaven.
Amen.
And we as the church of Jesus Christ should always remember that our identity is in Jesus Christ, and he's coming again for us. So.